The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Monday, November the 15th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. Defense lawyers in the murder trial of three white men accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery continued to complain about high-profile black leaders observing the trial in the courtroom. Lisa Hagan reports.
Another day, another motion for mistrial denied by the judge. Defense attorney Kevin Goff objected to Reverend Jesse Jackson's appearance in the courtroom gallery on Monday. Goff has previously drawn criticism for his language objecting to Reverend Al Sharpton's presence last week. Judge Timothy Walmsley has expressed frustration with the attorney on both occasions.
Mr. Goff, at this point, I'm not exactly sure what you're doing. I have already ruled on this court's position with regard to the gallery.
Walmsley says he will not bar members of the public from the trial. Jurors are continuing to hear from state investigators and today saw the shotgun used to kill Ahmaud Arbery. Lisa Hagan, WABE News.
A West Georgia district attorney indicted in September for felony charges pleaded guilty today. State Attorney General Chris Carr announced attorney Mark Preston Jones is guilty of four felony charges. Those include influencing witness testimony and offering bribes to prosecutors in his office. Jones was given a five-year sentence. Carr says Jones will serve 1 year in prison and the remainder on probation. He has resigned his position. Carr called the outcome a victory for integrity in prosecutions and the rule of law. Well, law enforcement continues its efforts to drive off Metro Atlanta street racers. Multiple agencies say they worked together this weekend to crack down on street racing, which led to nearly 500 tickets and arrests. That number includes the Georgia State Patrol, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and the Atlanta Police Department. Officials say they've made nearly 16,000 vehicle stops since April to target loud music and other prohibited behavior. COVID cases are slowly going up in Metro Atlanta's largest counties, breaking a steady decline that started in early October. Health officials have warned that colder weather could bring more cases and are hoping for more vaccinations in Georgia, as only 50% of the population is fully vaccinated. COVID hospitalizations are at 950 statewide, which is way down from a peak of 6,400 in early September. State lawmakers continue to move quickly to redraw Georgia's political lines. Today, the Georgia House approved a new map redrawing all 56 state Senate districts. Democratic State Representative Deborah Bazemore of South Fulton says the map is an attack on representative government.
A yes vote on this map is a vote to disenfranchise millions of Georgia voters. A yes vote on this map is an invitation to costly legal challenges that will be incurred to defend an unconstitutional map.
Republican State Representative Bonnie Rich of Suwannee defended the work of the House Redistricting Committee, which she chairs.
Anyone who votes no is exercising a dishonest stand based on partisan politics and buzzwords.
Republicans are projected to keep control of the state Senate under the GOP-drawn map. It now heads to Governor Brian Kemp for his signature. Next, state lawmakers will turn their attention to redrawing Georgia's 14 congressional districts. Today is National Recycling Day. It comes right after world leaders met in Scotland and at the UN Climate Change Conference. In recent years, businesses and households in Metro Atlanta have shown a willingness to reduce their waste. But as WABE's Emil Moffitt reports, the recycling infrastructure in the U.S. is still playing catch up with the rest of the world.
Every day on Atlanta's west side, tons of plastic arrives at this processing facility. Most of it is thin plastic, like shopping bags and packaging and
bubble wrap. Huge amounts of bubble wrap. And where this comes from, I don't really even know, or why we get it, I'm not sure.
Jeff Gold is the CEO of Nexus, a company that does chemical recycling. He takes me on a hard hat tour of their plant. When the plastic arrives, this feedstock, as they call it, is sorted by hand and then ground up. It's then heated in a process called plastic pyrolysis, creating oil and wax that are sold to chemical companies who can then reuse it.
So this plastic is not being burned, it's not being incinerated, it's not making any kind of diesel fuel or gasoline or anything like that. It is being used to make brand new plastics.
He says since Nexus started a few years ago, they've been able to divert nearly 4 million pounds of plastic from landfills. The company has plans to expand soon, and it comes at a time when businesses in Atlanta and around the country are showing more commitment to sustainable practices.
Since we've started up, we're seeing more and more people coming to us saying, hey, I've got this material. I've been throwing it out, but can you take it now?
He says most of the plastic they process is bought in bulk from businesses, but he hopes one day to handle more material from consumers too. On Atlanta's south side, a steady line of cars stream into the Center for Hard to Recycle Materials, or CHARM for short. It's open to the public as well as businesses and universities, and a fee is charged to recycle certain items there. Peggy Wetlow Radcliffe has been running CHARM for nearly 7 years.
It's amazing what has been done to take some of these materials that are so undesirable and they can be made into useful products.
CHARM can recycle some 40 types of materials, from electronics to tires to chemicals to paint and glass. They turn it all over to processors, all of whom are listed on the facility's website.
One of the most important things I think about making recycling work is transparency. About when you drop something off with me, where does it go and what do they do with it? Do you really recycle it or does it get thrown away?
And that approach appears to be working. When CHARM opened in 2015, Radcliffe says they served 5,000 customers. This year, that number has grown to 47,000. The center is planning a second facility in DeKalb County. Atlanta's professional sports teams are playing a role in recycling, too, with the Hawks, United, Falcons, and Braves all taking steps toward having zero-waste venues. But despite the progress that's been made, the U.S. as a whole lags behind other countries when it comes to recycling infrastructure. Betel Takte teaches business sustainability at Georgia Tech. She says cities like Atlanta can't do it on their own.
We need a federal level collection and recycling bill like exists in Europe.
She says only then can you expect the kind of large scale recycling that makes more business sense.
It's a cost issue at the end of the day. So if you're able to drive the cost of recycling and landfill diversion down, then you're going to see businesses engage even more deeply with that.
New studies show that plastic waste is becoming one of the biggest contributors to climate change, and experts say finding ways to reduce the amount of it in our landfills will be critical. Emil Moffitt, WABE News.
Right whale calving season is now underway. As Emily Jones reports, the endangered whales travel to Georgia every year to have their babies.
The first baby whale this season was spotted off South Carolina. In a tweet announcing the calf, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration also issued a reminder to boaters to slow down and give the whales space, at least 500 yards. That rule, along with speed limits for larger ships, aims to protect the critically endangered whales from boat strikes that can kill them. Last season, scientists spotted 19 right whale calves with their moms off the coast of Georgia, the Carolinas, and Florida. But a boat struck and killed one of those babies. Just over 300 North Atlantic right whales remain in the world, according to the latest estimate. So scientists say every calf is critical to the species' survival. Emily Jones, WABE News in Savannah.
That's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at wabe.org. Lily Oppenheimer produced today's program. Alex Helmick was our editor. I'm Jim Burris. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now Plugged In, a WAB politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WAB politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WAB.org or your favorite podcast platform.